I want you to take your Bibles and follow with me this evening. I have two brief passages of Scripture I want to read in your hearing. I trust it'll be a blessing. Remember, camp meeting is a little bit different, usually, to our regular church services. I think when we come to camp meeting, we expect to come and usually stay a little longer and get a little higher.
Amen.
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 And it's a time of edification. It's a time of feasting. It's a time of filling up.
Amen.
And hopefully be a time of running over.
Yes.
But to begin the camp tonight, and I trust that you'll pray as we speak, I'd love to bring you this message entitled, Why God Hates Dirty Underwear. I guess most everyone ought to hate dirty underwear. You say that's not in the scripture. You just sit right where you are and pray. Listen. Why God hates dirty underwear.
Yeah. Amen.
In the book of Jude, the 23rd verse, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Look at it, read it once more. And others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You'll take the word garment there and look up its definition. You'll discover that it means undergarment. Undergarment. Now then, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter, and then we'll read some out of the 23rd chapter. Excuse me. Why God hates dirty underwear. If we could realize the real meaning of this, I believe it would solemnize us and sober us as we never have been before. And when we speak to you about God hating dirty underwear, it brings back the old saying when we were children growing up, they taught us that cleanliness was next to godliness. And I still believe that away.
Amen.
You know that? I think when people get right with God, the first thing they want to do, having been cleansed in their inner man, they want the outer man cleansed.
Amen.
And then they want their surroundings clean. And they want the air clean. They want their neighborhood clean. They want the nation clean. And if you don't have that desire, you need another dip, something besides fruit.
Amen.
You need to go back.
Amen.
I don't think you got it all.
Amen.
Now, when we were children growing up, we, having been born and reared in the mountains, in order to keep things clean, we had to go at it sometimes the hard way. We didn't have modern day washing machines nor dryers. We washed clothes down by the creek side. Mom had an old fashioned black pot, great big old thing. And our job on Monday, we boys gathered wood and brush and kindling, and we built a big fire around the old-fashioned wash pot. And then we carried water. Had to carry the water and fill it up. And you say, wasn't that child abuse? Well, we had enough sense to not say anything, just do it.
Amen.
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 So we filled the pot, and Mother washed, and we used the old-fashioned soap. Man, you could soak clothes in that, didn't nearly eat them up. I didn't get the dirt.
Ma
had an old-fashioned scrub board.
Yes,
you know, it had the grooves on it, the ribs on it. And I've seen her scrub on that till the blood came out of her nose. You say, well, wasn't that hard on her? Well, yeah, it was hard on her, but she loved God and their family.
Yeah.
She counted it a privilege.
Amen.
Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Wash all day and then fix meals for the family?
Yes, sir.
That's amazing. And we didn't hear any complaining. Didn't hear anybody feeling sorry for themselves.
Right.
Everybody's enjoying it. But the one thing they taught us was cleanliness.
Yeah.
We must keep clean.
Yeah.
Now, we didn't have a lot of clothes as people have today, especially underclothing.
Right.
Much of our underclothing was made out of flour sacks.
Yeah.
And the old-fashioned cow feed bags, you know, that had the red cow on them, blue cow.
Yeah.
My mother bleached those out and make sheets out of them.
Yeah.
Always had the seam in the middle. You could get on that at night, you know. But before we got that far along in life, we slept on straw ticks.
Amen. Yeah.
And that's a blessing, especially when you've just stuffed them and you jump in and the straw comes through and gouges you right good.
Yeah.
Wake up every morning and look like you got the measles.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Sure. It's wonderful to live. You folks haven't lived that way. You've missed it.
Right.
We enjoy it. You say, well, was it? Well, yeah, you know, we didn't have modern day radios to wake you up to the tune, you know, some music or something. You say, what woke you up, ham fry? Well, you try to slay in bed, I'll wake you up, coffee curtain.
Yeah.
But we love cleanliness, had to learn to be clean. Mom made our underwear out of clothing like that. Back in those days, the flour companies, the flour mills would put out the flour sacks. They got to putting beautiful designs on them so the mothers could rip them up and make dresses for the girls in the family, make blouses. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Now you go to the store to buy a blouse, it's $36.50. There's not enough of the backslidden thing to want a nap's either.
Amen.
And all you have to be good to learn the soul again. At least you can cover the subject. It cost me so much.
Amen.
That's the way we lived. That was life.
Yeah.
But there's one thing about it. We had to keep it clean.
Yeah.
Had to keep it clean. Brother J. Bly Hill used to live out Hendersonville, an old mountain preacher. He's in heaven now. Back in those days when that's all we had, they'd make shirts for their grown-ups. Men would wear shirts, you know, thing, you know, flour sacks, whatever they could get. Kirkendall, and he went preaching somewhere, and he said, Brother Hill got in a big way of preaching one night and got carried away. And he said, Brother Ralph, I saw his shirt tail come out and it had self-rising on it. But it didn't bother his preaching. He preached right on. But we knew that cleanliness was next to God. We didn't have much, but we had to keep it clean. And I believe that's where we've missed it today. We are trying to have revival without being cleaned up.
Amen.
There used to be an old preacher, a friend of mine, by the name of Jess Oakley, great old soul, born up in Kentucky, reared in Kentucky, spent many years preaching in Florida. We've had him in revival, a godly man, left-handed. I can see him preaching. He always would beat his hand, that left fist. Last time I saw him, I was in Florida, and I went to his home, and he was telling about when he was a boy growing up back in the hills of Kentucky. We got to talking about a way of life, and he said in our conversation, he said when he was a boy, he always wanted some store-bought underwear. When I was a child, if you got something store-bought, man, you thought Santa Claus had come.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, if it was store-bought, Brother Hinkle, that we thought that was great.
Yes,
and he said he always wanted some store-bought underwear. You know, Ma had to make it. And he said that he told himself, he said, if I ever get a job, the first thing I'm going to do is to buy me some store-bought underwear. He said, I'm going to get those long hats, we call them. And sure enough, when he got about 14, he got a job. Over the way back then, they'd do farm work. You know, you'd go stay a week or two And then they pay you, you get to go back home. And he said, telling us, said that on that first job, he couldn't wait for his first payday. And he said, as soon as he got his money, he ran down to the country store from the place where he was staying and bought him a brand new pair of store-bought underwear, long hands, if you will. And he said, telling us, he said, Brother Ralph, he said, I was so excited and so thrilled over my store-bought underwear. He went back to where he was working and he said, you know, he said, I put them on and I worked with them all week. He said, I loved them. He said, I wouldn't take them off. He said, I wore them all day, slept in them at night. Said, I dare not take them off. I just love them so good. Isn't that wonderful? What if folks appreciated things like that today?
Amen. Right. Yeah. Amen.
And then he said, Ralph, I went home at the end of the week and said, I couldn't wait to tell Mama about my store-bought underwear. And he rushed in and he said, Mama, Mama, I've got my store-bought underwear. I've been wearing them all week. I'm so excited I wouldn't take them off. And he said, Mother, I love them. There's only one thing wrong with them. She said, what's that, Jess? He said, the things just choked me to death. Well, she said, Jess, come here a minute, son. Let me see. And she pulled his shirt out and said, well, Jess, son, you've got them on upside down. So he had his head through the tailgate and his arms out the leg. And his legs in the yard. Worn them all week. Hey, that's loving them, man. He's young. But he had them.
Amen.
You had to keep them clean. Now that brings us to our thought. Why God hates dirty underwear. If they're not clean, you're in trouble. Read that verse again. Another saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verse 26, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. In reading that, oh, he goes on to say, which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known. Now then, I want you to turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 23. And we have another passage of scripture I want you to read with. I want you to look at it. In Deuteronomy, chapter 23, verses 12 through 14, we have the law of sanitation in the camp. When the children of Israel left Egypt's land and went in across the Red Sea and into the desert, into the wilderness, 40 years they traveled in that wilderness. Now I want to ask you a question or two. Just stop and think a minute. Now Bible scholars tell us there was anywhere from 3 million to 6 million of them. Regardless, they was a crowd. And remember, there were men and women, boys and girls, children, all of them, living in that desert, in the camps like God ordained them to live. And have you ever thought, how under God's sun did they survive? The desert getting up to 100 degrees or so in the daytime, and then get chilly at night. God's a merciful God, so he put a pillar of fire over them at night. That's a big heater. It's big enough to heat 3 million plus people. Wouldn't that be nice? Just lie down. Wouldn't even have to sleep undercover. God's got the heater turned on. In the daytime, he turned it into an air conditioner. That great big cloud up there, full of God's blessing and grace and water, and the wind would blow down through it. And who ever heard of air conditioning in the desert? But God did.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
And God will make a way for you if you let him.
Amen.
But have you ever stopped to think There was no sewers in the desert. There were no sewer lines. There was no sanitary conditions, whatever. And have ever you parents that have raised children, can you imagine how many times that little child goes to the bathroom in a day? All day long. All day long. Now think, I want you to see a point here. Think how many times that baby or that child goes to the bathroom. And then you stop and think 3 million plus people. And every day, that's life. There's the bathroom. That's life. Has to be. Now I want you to stop and think a minute. What would happen in one day if that many people use the restroom and there's no sewers and no way to get rid of the refuse? What would happen? They'd all die in a little bit of typhoid or other diseases and germs. You say, well, I never thought of it, preacher. How did they live? Let me read to you the law of sanitation. I want you to get this point. In the book of Deuteronomy 23, verse 12, thou shalt have a place also without the camp, whither thou shalt go forth abroad, and thou shalt have a paddle upon thy weapon, and it shall be when thou wilt ease thyself abroad, thou shalt dig therewith, and shalt turn back and cover that which cometh from thee. Now think of this. God laid down sanitation laws for the camp of Israel. And there's a reason. I want you to listen to it. And God gave strict orders. They had to go out to the side of the camp. And remember now, they're in the desert. The land, it's a sandy desert. Think how merciful God is. What if they'd have been out there? They'd gone up the other side and the soil was so hard you couldn't dig it with the pick. Every way you look, you see the mercy of God at work for His children.
Amen.
And if you look in your life, those places that seem hard and seem dark, and those places that seem so unnecessary at times, and yet, ladies and gentlemen, God has fixed it. And I read in the book of Peter where He gives you much more grace. Much more grace. Now look what happened. He said for them to take the battle. Now look. The children had to be taught. Those children, from the time they could begin to walk, they were taught sanitation. Cleanliness. Sanitation. Keep clean. Now look at the next verse. Verse 14. For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee and to give up thine enemies before thee. Now listen. Therefore shall thy camp be what?
Holy.
Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee, and turn away from thee. God is saying to Israel, now he knew, because he's God and he knows all things, if they survive, the only way they could possibly survive physically, there must be strict laws of cleanliness.
Right.
And now these are types for the church today. There must be strict laws. And God said to each one of them, when they relieved themselves, He said there must be the paddle and then the covering of the earth. Why? God said, I'm going to be walking through this camp every day. God said, I'll be here, I'm coming through, and I'll inspect the camp. That's the gist of it. And He said, if I find any unclean thing, God will not tolerate a dirty camp.
Right.
Now the camp tonight is your heart.
Right. Yeah.
And the camp tonight is the local church.
Yeah. Right.
The camp tonight is Christian.
Yeah.
Now, and the refuse, children, is a type of the flesh. And that's what God thinks of it. God, of course we know God sees all things and knows all things, but He was teaching them it must be buried out of His sight. It must be clean. God said, I must find nothing in this camp. It must be a holy camp.
Yeah. Amen. Right.
And did you know, ladies and gentlemen, when the children of Israel pulled camp and moved on to the next location, if you'd have been there, the moment they pulled up and marched away. You could have spread a tablecloth and picnic where they left. It was so clean. Nothing was left. Cleanliness. Now we wonder why we don't have revival, ladies and gentlemen. The camps are not clean.
You're right.
Amen. Right.
The camp is your heart tonight.
Yeah.
See, when Adam and the woman sinned against God in the garden, and God drove them out of the garden. And then God put the angel at the entrance of Eden with a flaming sword so they'd never get back in. Then what did God do? He moved the garden from the physical face of the earth into the heart of his people. And as God walked in the garden in the cool of the day, now he walks in our hearts. In the fullness of the Holy Ghost, he walks up
tonight.
Amen. Now look in the book of Leviticus, if you will, just a moment. The 13th chapter of Leviticus, where God gives the law of the cleansing of the leper. In the book of Leviticus, look in that 13th chapter first, and verse 49. And if the plague be greenish or reddish in the garment, or in the skin, either in the warp or in the wound, that's the cross stitch and the up and down stitch, or in anything of skin, it is a plague of leprosy, and that shall be showed unto the priest. And the priest shall look upon the plague and shut up it that hath the plague 7 days. Now the only one that could decide if a person was leprous was the priest. And the only one that can children decide if we're lost and doomed and damned is the great high priest Jesus Christ. And he knows.
Yes.
There's no hiding from him. We have a lot of people today that will condemn each other to hell and pass sentence and judgment.
Right.
But that's the high priest's job.
Amen. Right. Yeah.
And then it says, and he shall look on the plague on the seventh day. If the plague spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the whoop or in the skin or in any work that is made of skin, the plague is a spreading leprosy. It is unclean. All right, he says, he shall therefore burn that garment, whether warp or whoop, in wool or in linen or anything of skin. Then the priest shall command that they wash the thing wherein the plague is, and he shall shut it up 7 days more. The priest shall look on the plague after that it is washed, and behold, if the plague have not changed its color, the plague be not spread, it is unclean. Thou shalt burn it in the fire, it is spread inward, whether it be bare within or without. What's he saying? God does not tolerate uncleanness. Now the garment here is the undergarment. And the only man that could decide that that individual had leprosy was the high priest. And when he came to that individual, or the individual came to him, he could pull the outer garments away, look into the warp and the woof. That's the stitching of the undergarment. And ladies and gentlemen, if the garment showed up greenish and so forth, the priest knew that it was leprosy. Then they had to be separated from the camp until they were cleansed. So it was the undergarment, the inner garment, that was unclean, that had the leprosy in it. And they could not enter back into the camp until they were cleansed of that leprosy.
Amen.
Now look in the book of Leviticus at 14th chapter just a moment. God says in verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, and when it comes to salvation, ladies and gentlemen, God is the one that speaks. Salvation to the Lord. Here he didn't leave it up to the priest to speak. He said, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. The leper, here's the type of the sinner. And in the day of the cleansing of the sinner, he shall come unto the priest. The Holy Ghost brings him to the great high priest. Only the high priest can cleanse us of leprosy.
Amen.
Or of sin. Salvation to the Lord. And it says the priest shall go forth out of the camp. The priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed, 2 birds alive, clean in cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. These are all a type of the finished work of Christ at Calvary. But I wanted you to see that God will not tolerate the uncleanness.
Right.
He hates it. Now then, remember, the camp must be clean. The undergarments must be clean. And the undergarment tonight is a type of your heart. It's a type of the camp. Now I want you to turn to the book of Mark, if you will, 7th chapter, verse 21. Far from when then, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. Now your heart tonight is the undergarment. See, the Holy Ghost knows every thought, every lust, every desire. So the undergarments tonight is our hearts. And that's the thing that God looks at. There are so many people who think, well, I can cover it up and hide it and conceal it over. Not so. Not so. Christian, you cannot hide it, neither can you conceal it. Alright, look. God said, far from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. Now the undergarment there is, that's the heart. It's unclean. Evil thoughts. Now this is the last days. Every way you turn, it's filth. It's corrupt.
Yes.
It's rotten.
Amen.
Papers are full of it. Magazines full of it. Radio's full of it. Television's as corrupt as hell. Every way you turn, it's filth.
Amen.
Corruption.
Right.
We're now in the Noah days, as it was in the days of Noah. Now you need to go back and read that 6th chapter. How that all flesh had corrupted itself. What an awful time it was. Corruption. All right, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. I'm going to tell you something here, Christian. You're a child of God. God is going to march through the camp. And if he finds any unclean thing, he said, blessing.
Amen.
It's clean, cursing.
Why not?
Yeah. And if your heart and mind is filled with evil, evil thinking, lust, desire, God will deal with you. It must be confessed. There's a panel of God's grace. And if you'll let God, the Holy Ghost, have his way in your heart, the panel of God's grace will dig a hole deep enough in the rock of ages. It'll be covered with the blood and be cleansed and forgotten.
Be
spiritual and watch it. Most TV today.
Yes.
Most of your soap operas are nothing but a continuation of trash. That's right.
Right.
Corruption and filth and intermarriage and wife swapping and outraging. You can't lie around and watch that and then pray in the spirit.
You're right, brother.
You're right.
Right.
Evil thoughts. You can't listen to modern day conversation. That's why rock music is as wicked as hell.
Right.
All the lyrics of that music
are
lower and more degraded, more vile, and I believe the sewers of hell would almost reject the average rock lyric in rock music.
Amen.
You can't partake of that stuff. And then God said, not only evil thoughts, but adulteries. It's amazing today how people live together. And think there's nothing wrong, but I mean, never been married.
Yeah.
The day of wife swapping. It's a day when marriage means nothing. One of the sure signs of the coming of the Lord. We're in Noah day. It's the evil thoughts, the adultery. Now we're talking about that camp, that heart. You'll never have revival here or anywhere else unless your heart, unless that camp's clean. It has to be cleansed. God demanded a holy camp.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, be ye holy, even as I'm holy. Then he said, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blaspheming, pride, foolishness. All of these evil things come from within and defile them, and they come out of your camp, your heart. Unless we have a mighty turning to God, children, we've just seen them again. Now, if we're going to have revival, it has to be a clean camp.
Yeah. Amen.
It's camp clean and tied, folks.
Right.
Yes.
Camp clean and tied. It's the verse of scripture, if I can turn to it, in the book of Nehemiah. Unless we have a camp clean and tied, unless we do what God said, you can forget it. But look in the book of Nehemiah, if you will, that fourth chapter of Nehemiah. And we won't have time to read all of it, but beginning with verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and looked and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these people do? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? See, that's what the world's saying today. What's this bunch of feeble Christians doing? Who are they? Why do they think they can turn the nation around? It says, will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break it down their stone wall. Hear, O God, oh our God, listen at it. For we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head. Give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So we built the wall, and all the walls joined together unto the height thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Yeah. Now, ladies and gentlemen, look down in verse 10 of that same chapter. And Judah said, the strength of the barriers of burdens is decayed. The barriers of burden. Where's the prayer warriors? Where's the old time Holy Ghost prayer warriors that used to carry the burden of the camp and the burden of revival and the burden of the church? But you can't carry a burden if you camp, if your heart is filled with all the other things of this life.
You're right.
God said, look at it. The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. You've been weakened because of sin. Your camp is polluted. Your camp is dirty. The camp is evil. It's full of lust and greed and covetousness. Fault finding. Folks, if we don't get the camp clean, we're ruined.
Right.
You wonder why God hates dirty underwear? It's the thing that's stopping revival. It's the thing that's bringing our nation to a standstill spiritually. It's a thing that's damning our schools, our government, and then our homes. Look what the Word says in that 10th verse. Read it again if you will. There is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build a wall. Unless the camp's clean, you can't work. Have you ever been around where a bunch of men working and they were too lazy to carry out children, the rubbish around them? After a while, they're falling over each other, getting hurt. They have to, if you want to get done, you have to stop, get it done. You have to stop the job and clean out so you can work. And that's what we're going to have to do, folks. There must come a cleansing of the undergarments. That's the camp, that's the heart. God help us to see it. Now, we could go on there, but I want you to notice something else here quickly. It's camp cleaning time. Psalms 85 verse 6 says, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee?
Amen.
Wilt thou not revive us again? Wilt thou not cleanse the camp again? Wilt thou not cleanse the undergarments? Oh Lord, send revival. Folks, that's the only answer. There must come a cleansing of the camp. If the Lord wills, tomorrow morning, my son Ralph and the crew will leave Asheville, headed for Washington. We had dedication yesterday of the equipment. The tractors and the trailers, four tractors, trailers, all the other equipment. It's loaded, headed for Washington. It'll be God if they make it. The devil will do anything he could to stop it. We're supposed to pitch the big tent. They're next to the Washington Monument, right at on Constitution Avenue. Ladies and gentlemen, it's like going in where Satan's seat is.
Right.
But you know, if God's people would pray and fast and let God cleanse the camp, God said that the wicked could not stand in the congregation of the righteous.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
God can come down in such heavy conviction that the whole of the nation's capital would come to a grinding halt, and they'd be falling on their faces in the street, in the buildings, wherever they were, crying, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner."
Amen.
We're going out to have clean camps. We get anywhere with God.
Yeah.
Some of you have been carrying grudges against each other for years.
Yeah.
Some of you husbands and wives not on good speaking terms, fussing, growling, biting at each other like two tomcats with the tails tied together and thrown over a wire. You can't get God down on you. Did you know God warned about your prayers being hindered?
Yes.
You're going to have to live in peace with each other. Husbands, love your wife.
Amen.
And vice versa. You say, "But preacher, you don't have much sin." Well, y'all know that when you're married. God says, "For better, for worse."
Well,
how are you going to have revival if there's not a cleansing of our camps? There has to be if we're going to have revival.
Yeah.
It's camp cleaning time.
Yeah.
There were Marians in the camp. The word Miriam means bitterness, means rebellion. When Miriam rose up with Aaron and said, "Look, Moses, the preacher around here, but we can do as good a job as he can.
Yeah.
Man, why does he walk around like he's the chief jurist, procurer of this outfit, whatever that means?" They said, "We can do it. We got folks today." To them, the ministry doesn't mean anything.
Amen.
They think it's a profession or a job.
Amen.
It's a high calling of God.
Amen.
And when God raises someone up to preach and anoints them with the Holy Ghost, then children, woe be unto us if we touch that. That's God's business. But she thought, "Well, we'll just get in here and sort of, we've got a lot of influence too. We'll get folks on our side, and maybe we can fire Moses and send him back down to Egypt somewhere. We'll run the show." Miriam wound up with dirty undergarments, and so did Aaron. And I tell you, it became so bad that the curse of God came on her, and she broke out with leprosy.
Yes.
Broke out with leprosy. Look in Numbers 12, verse 10. "And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous." Numbers 12, verse 15 says, "And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again." One Christian got out of step, got out of fellowship, and her undergarments became dirty. In other words, her heart became polluted and rebellious and jealous. And she tried to usurp authority. And so did Aaron. And ladies and gentlemen, what happened? The whole church had to stop.
Yes.
Till she got right.
Yes, right.
That's what it amounts to.
Yes.
You wonder why many times our churches are not going forward? There are those who belong to the church. They're like Miriam. They've got bitterness in their heart, fault finding in their heart, jealousy in their heart.
Yes.
And oh, children, the whole church was brought to a standstill. It couldn't go. God help us. God help us to have a cleansing of the undergarments. All right, there's other thoughts there, but the time won't permit us. In the book of Joshua 7, verses 1 through 11, there were Achans in the camp. Covetousness, greed. God help folks. You'd be surprised how that many of the churches are suffering tonight. They can't do the things they'd like to do. They can't increase, they can't enlarge, they can't increase their missionary programs. They can't pay the pastors. They ought to be paid because of the greed and the covetousness in the church, in the hearts of the people. They've got dirty underwear. They're covetous, they're greedy. A lot of them driving new cars around, new motorcycles and new boats. You know what they bought it with? God's tithe money.
Right. Amen.
God's tithe money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you know in the average Baptist church, independent, Southern Baptist, whatever you have, did you know the average church, 85% of the congregation does right. not tithe unto right. the Lord.
Right. Amen.
And if they do, they tithe after they paid all their bills.
Right.
Well, after you paid right. all the bills, there ain't nothing left, honey.
Right. Yes. Yes. Amen. Right.
You say, well, how do you tithe? You tithe off of the top.
Yeah.
If your gross yeah. income is $500 a week, yeah. the first $50 doesn't even belong to you. It belongs to God to start with.
Yeah.
It's His.
Right. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
You're right.
It might be dangerous yeah. to go out there and put your children in these cars and all if it's bought with God's tithe money.
Yeah.
I'd right. be afraid to get out on right. that lake if God's tithe money right. paid for that boat.
Amen. Right.
God may let it hit a stump and ram the yeah. hole in it so big you could throw a yeah. tank through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You say, now you can stay in Nashville if you go preach. I don't, honey. I'm just sort of throwing out feelings.
You're doing all right, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
You're right, bro.
Listen, aching's in the camp. Aching's in the camp.
Yeah.
Covetousness, greed.
Yeah.
People say, oh, I can't tithe. I can't tithe. Did you know that statistics show that America gives only 1/10 of 1%, not 1/10 of 10%, but 1/10 of 1% of what we're supposed to give in the way of tithe unto the Lord as a nation. And that means we rob God of several $1 billion a year tithe money. You wonder why we've had the drought and the water level's going down until it's frightening and crops are failing. You wonder why blizzard here, snowstorm yonder, drought here. God said in the book of Joel, He said the seed was rotting under the clods. Why? Because God said in the book of Malachi, He said this whole nation's robbed me.
Amen.
Tithes and all.
Yeah.
You say, well, preacher, if I tithe, I just couldn't get along. No, the reason you're struggling and you can't ever come out and come ahead is you're robbing God.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
You're robbing God.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Why didn't you preach on heaven tonight? Well, I want you to get so you can enjoy it when it's
done. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Robbing God of the tithe of hell.
Yeah.
Here, some months ago, I was sitting on the platform in church one morning before time to preach. And God, I know, spoke to me. He said, son, you can quit killing yourself, worrying about paying all the church debts, if this church will obey me. Boy, that got my attention. He said, if this church will obey me, you won't have to worry anymore. You can pay everything. We borrowed $250,000 from the bank on one building and all of this. God said, you can quit worrying about it if you'll just obey me. He said, if this church will obey me.
Yeah.
He said, the church is not tithing.
Right.
If that is the whole church. He said, if they'll tithe, your financial problem. And that got a hold of me. I got to think about it.
Right.
Then I put out a challenge. And I said to the congregation, I want every member of this church, from the oldest to the least, if you have any kind of income, you get paid weekly, every 2 weeks, monthly, or if you get a Social Security check or whatever it is. If you don't believe in tithing, if you never have tithed, you're never going to tithe again, I want you one time to do what God said. He said, prove me that.
Yeah.
I said, I want you to prove God one time that what He said is true.
Yeah.
And we said, not this Easter, but Easter before last. We set that as a date that everybody would tithe on that Sunday. And we kept talking about it and trusting God and got on their hearts and their minds. And we looked forward to the day when everybody tithe. I said, even if you've got a little child, if you give it a dollar allowance, you take that child and teach it. The first 10 cents belongs to God. That's His, not theirs. And I said, bring in your tithe. Bring it in. And on that Sunday, when they came in, In fact, they didn't even get it all counted, Hinkle, till up in the week. And the tithe for one Sunday was $23,000-some.
Amen.
Then I knew why, children, God spoke to me. Then if your offerings drop back to $5,000 or $6,000, whatever they are, then you know that every Sunday, about 3/4 of the congregation robs God. And then they wonder why they can't have revival. There's Achans in the camp. They love the golden way. They love that stuff.
Right.
Don't have to have the camp clean the time. That's in the heart. That's an undergarment. And then in Matthew 23, verses 1 through 33, there were Pharisees in the camp. That was that religious crowd. We've got folks today, folks that, as far as they're concerned, everybody's going to hell but them. They just believe they're the only ones. They just think that if you don't belong to their little group, you're just not in. You're out. Some of them even, now they even teach it. They're the only ones going up in the rapture. I think some of them is going to get their little hopes ruptured.
Yeah. Amen.
Wake up.
Right. Yeah.
But Phariseeism. Yeah. It's there. We won't take time to enlarge on that. But there are folks who separate themselves. And I think we all live a separate life. That's what we're talking about.
Right.
When we separate ourselves to the place that we have no reverence or respect or kindness or compassion toward others who are saved, maybe not in the same particular groove as you're in, if you despise them and have no time for them, you better examine your heart, folks. There are going to be people in heaven that's going to surprise you. And then there's the elder brothers in the camp. That's in Luke 15. You know, he was a sort of the senior member of the ecclesiastical council. He had stayed home and he was, he jotted the I's and crossed the T's and he got along good. He was living on the fat of land. But when his wayward brother came home, he had a jealous fit.
Yes.
And that's another thing that we've got in the churches today.
Right.
There are people so jealous. The camp needs to be cleansed.
Yeah.
And then we have Ananias in the camp. Lying to God. Diotrephes in the camp. In 3 John verses 9 and 10, Diotrephes stood in the way of God's people. Not only did he stand in the way, but he worked himself into a place of power and authority in the church, and he opposed and fought against and actually cast people out of the church because he was filled with some sort of a religious demon or whatever it was. If he couldn't run the program, he'd run everybody else off. Of course, nobody in this part of the world like that, but we need to get the Diotrephes out of the camp. There were Jezebels in the camp.
Yes.
That word Jezebel is a strange word. In Revelation 2:20, it means helpless, or it means there is no glory. And we need to have our camps cleansed of the Jezebel spirit. There is no glory. If you look at that word glory, make a brief acrostic out of it, there was no God. Under L, there was no love. Under O, there was no overcoming grace. Under R, no repentance. And under Y, there was no vision, no voice, no yearning. God help us, children.
Amen.
Now let me say this, and I'm going to close for this evening. Do you really want revival, or do you want to just come together a few nights and, just sort of get carried away with the spirit of ecstasy, which I love, and I think God's people need encouragement. They need the shout. That's the thing that alarms me. The shout's gone out of the church.
Amen.
It's gone out of the camp meetings. Did you know that?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about some carnal something worked up. But I don't believe the shout will come until there's a cleansing of the undergarment.
Amen.
Then there'll come the shout.
Yeah. That's right.
And wouldn't you love to see it this week?
Amen.
So, folks, I'm going to ask you to let God search your heart.
Right, brother.
Ask God to look in the undergarment. That's in your heart. That's what we're talking about. From within, out of the heart, proceeds these things. What is it in your heart tonight that keeps you from having revival? And when we speak on why God hates dirty underwear, He does hate it. That's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
What is it in your life tonight that's dirty underwear in God's sight? God said all your righteousness are as filthy rags.
Yeah.
If you're depending on anything other than the good grace of God, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Is it jealousy? Is it covetousness? Is it greed? Is it fault finding? Is it lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life? What is it? Search your hearts tonight. Let God in mercy cleanse the camp. Because He said, when I come through the camp, it must be holy.
Amen.
It must be holy. Right. If it wasn't holy, He said the curse would be on it.
Yeah.
I don't want God's curse on me.
Amen.
They must let Him search our hearts tonight and cleanse the camp. Would you bow your heads for prayer?